Praise the Lord. Well, we are, before I go into the sermon, we're going to have a quick video about BGMC. There's a fundraiser going on next week for BGMC, and this video is just going to explain a little bit more about BGMC.
$6,200 for BGMC this year. Let me tell you my story. I was born with spina bifida. Spina bifida is a birth defect that doesn't allow me to use my lower body. So in the move of Groovathon, I used a specially built bike that I pedaled with my arms. What was so cool and what motivated me this year was last year, I was able to raise $600 for BGMC for the walkathon by only asking people in the church to sponsor me. And I was so excited to think that if I could raise $600 with only the people in my church, how much more could I do by going outside the church? And that's what I did. I started calling everyone I knew, and everywhere I went, I asked people to sponsor me in the BGMC Move and Groovathon. And it was amazing the response that I got. I had raised about $1,500 when I met a man who told me that if I raised as much money as I can, that he would match whatever I raised. And that just challenged me so much that I just went after everyone that I knew. And I ended up raising $6,200 through BGMC. I learned in Pitts Church that I'm not too young to do something for God. And the Bible said in Matthew 16:15, go into all the world and preach the gospel to all creation.
Just put the rest of that stuff up there. So BGMC is Boys and Girls Missionary Crusade, and the goal of it is to get kids to understand missions. And while we are very, very grateful for the adults that give to BGMC, and we'll take any adults that want to give to BGMC because it goes to missions, but we want kids to understand, like, it, you know, that they from a young age understand that missions is not just for adults. It is for everybody, and we are all called to help the Great Commission, which is go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. There are still people in the world today who have never heard. They haven't had the opportunity to choose to accept or reject Jesus for themselves, and that's why we need to get the word out. And so it's our job as parents to train our children, hey, you know, we want you to care about missions. And this is what I think is so awesome about God. I mean, it is awesome that she raised $6,200. I have never, as a child, done a fundraiser and raised that much money. Like, that's awesome. But I want to also say what I have learned is if we will do what we can. I remember one time doing a fundraiser that the Lord put on my heart. And it honestly, it just flopped. Like, I made very little money. And I was like, Lord, like, I did this for a good cause. Like, I did it because I felt like you wanted me to do it. Now, I am not a salesperson at all. Like, it's just not a strength of mine. But I thought, man, what a waste. Like, I put forth all this effort, and now I'm trying to do this for a good cause. And the Lord let me know real quick, the little boy's lunch, God multiplied it. So if we do what he calls us to do and give what he calls us to give, he can multiply it. Like, God's perfectly able to do the multiplication process. But he didn't wait for the little boy to give his lunch. So we need to be prepared to do what he calls us to do. So this morning, I already prayed, but I just want to pray something real quick. Jesus would often say when he was speaking, He that has ears, let him hear. Because we know that we can have two ears and yet not be hearing. It just, you know, sounds like wah, wah, wah. And we're going to talk a little bit about that today. So I just want to pray, Father, I just pray that we would have ears to hear today. That what you want to say to us, that we would hear and that we would be doers of the word today and put it into practice in our lives. And we thank you that you would show us areas where we haven't heard things that we needed to hear before so that things can be changed in our lives, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, so this month we're talking about the word team. So the first letter, the T in team, is teaching and training. So that's what I'm going to be talking about today. Because in order for us to do the ministry as God's people, we need to be taught and we need to be teaching other people how to do that. So we're going to be talking about that today. So I'll just show you before you stand. If you put up the first slide, Joe. So the word teach means ideas or principles teaching. Ideas or principles taught by an authority. Okay, training is the act, process, or method of one that trains. And then train, if you go to the next slide, to train means to teach so as to make fit, qualified, or proficient, to form by instruction, discipline, or drill. I grew up on the Karate Kid movies. Those of you that have seen, how many of you have seen like the old like 80s Karate Kid movies? Okay, now, and then I really love the new one too. To me, it was pretty good. Like there was a lot of good qualities and good things in it, the newer one too. And one thing that you see from that movie is that this kid is doing all of this stuff thinking, this is accomplishing nothing. Like, this is a waste of my time. This man just has me washing his car and waxing his car and painting his fence. Like, it's not actually accomplishing anything until he got into a battle, like into a fight. And all of a sudden, all of that nothing had worked. All of these muscles and all of this muscle memory and all of these things that taught him, you know, how to respond in a battle. And so this is what this makes me think of, to inform by instruction, discipline, or drill, to make prepared as by exercise for a test of skill, or to direct the growth of a plant, usually by bending, pruning, and tying. And God uses the analogy of plants throughout Scripture, but especially in John 15. It talks about pruning, that Jesus, that we need to stay connected to the vine. So that's what we're going to be talking about some today. But we have to start with us because we are going to be an example and be able to teach others based on what we have been taught ourselves. So we need to start with ourselves. So, but we're going to start in Ephesians 4, verses 11 through 12. If you want to stand, we're going to read those verses. So this, he himself, in case you're unaware, this is Jesus. It says he himself, talking about Jesus, gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers. Now, these callings are called by Jesus. It's not just that you just wake up one day and say, I think I don't like my job now. I'm just going to become a prophet. That's not how that works. God, he himself gave. Jesus is the one who calls and equips people to do these positions. Verse 12, for the equipping of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying, which is a building word, it means building and architecture, of the body of Christ. Okay, you can be seated. So equipping means complete furnishing. I think I have this. Do I have this on a slide, Joe? I think I have this on a slide. Yes, equipping means to completely furnish. It equip means to supply with the necessary items for a particular purpose, to prepare someone mentally for a particular situation or task, or to make ready. So I wanted to get all of that out there so that we understand, because sometimes, I don't know, even in adulthood, some of my kids will ask me, what does something mean? And I'm like, I mean, I know what it means, but I don't know how to explain it. You know, how many of you parents have ever said that? You're like, or they ask you a word that you've known for 30 years, and you go, give me a second, you know, or let's look it up, you know, you Google it. So it's important that we understand and have an accurate description of what these words mean, because Ephesians that we just read said Jesus gave, he called, he gave the gift to some to be apostles and prophets and pastors and teachers, and I skipped one, evangelists. So he gave those gifts to the church, not so that those people who are special and are called can do all of the work of the ministry. No. He equipped and called those people, like Rick and I. We are very blessed to be pastors here. Very blessed and very grateful. And because he called us and because we're able to do what we do, we are called then to equip you for the work of the ministry. To do what God is calling you to do in the work of the ministry. And some people mistakenly have the idea that the church is like, there are certain people that are the players and they're on the field, and then no, but I'm like more of a spectator. That's not biblical. As Christians, we're all called. We all have a part to play. We all have something to do in the kingdom of God. And so that's why I'm saying this, because Ephesians 4 says, it's my job to equip you for the work of the ministry. And there are some people that sometimes people sit in churches and pastors are trying to equip them, and they're like, nope. And we're going to talk about that too, because the truth is we both have a part in this. I can say things just like Jesus. When he walked on earth, he said lots of things that went right over people's heads. Or it went into their heart, but it didn't accomplish anything. And that's what we're going to talk about in a minute. So we are to lead by example. We're to equip those in the church. And when we do that, we're building the body of Christ. Because the scripture says, for the edifying, to build up. That's an architectural word. To build up the body of Christ. So when we do that, we're building the body of Christ, like I said. So I want to show you the parable of the sower. Now, this is maybe for some of you very familiar. I love the parable of the sower. I love it. And the Bible actually says, if you don't understand this particular one, then how can you understand all the rest of them? Of Jesus' parables, it is a very important parable to understand. So I'm going to pull this back so that everybody can see. Yeah, I'm just going to throw some stuff on the floor to you. Okay, so we're going to look at the parable of the sower, but we need to read it first. So Matthew 13, verses 2 through 9 says, and great multitudes were gathered together to him, so that he got into a boat and sat, and the whole multitude stood on the shore. Then he spoke many things to them in parables, which was stories that would help people understand a point. Saying, behold, a sower went out to sow, and as he sowed, some fell by the wayside, and the birds came and devoured them. Some fell on stony soils, stony places where they didn't have much earth, and they immediately sprang up because they had no depth of earth. But then when the sun was up, they were scorched, and because they had no root, they withered away. Some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprang up and choked them. But others fell on good ground and yielded a crop, some 100, some 60, some 30. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. Okay, then we're going to skip down to verse 18 because Jesus explains this parable, what it means. Therefore, hear the parable of the sower. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, then the wicked one comes and snatches away what was sown in his heart. Then he who receives seed by, this is he who receives seed by the wayside. But he who received the seed on stony places, this is he who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy. Yet he has no root in himself, but endures only for a while. For when tribulation or persecution arises because of the word, immediately he stumbles. Now when he who receives seed among the thorns is he who hears the word, and the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becomes unfruitful. But he who receives seed on the good ground is he who hears the word and understands it, who indeed bears fruit and produces some 100, some 60, and some 30. So these places represent the type of hearts that we have. And in a church service, there can be people with all types of hearts. There can be a wayside heart and a stony heart and a thorny heart and a good heart. And in the midst of it, what I want to show you is that the condition of your heart will determine how much of what you hear makes a difference in your life. That's why people can come and sit in a service year after year and hear truth and yet not get it. Now, as a pastor and teacher, it is my responsibility to study what I teach and to be prayed up to give you the word that God has spoken to me to give to you. That's my responsibility, that I hear from the Lord, that I let him teach me, that I study, the Bible says, to show yourself approved, so that I don't have to be ashamed, and I rightly divide, I speak the right words at the right times, because I answer to him. And often as I'm praying, he'll give me these pictures or these illustrations and these ideas to be able to teach, because ultimately I answer to him about how I'm teaching. But this is what's important. You answer to him about how you're hearing. So if you sit in here and your heart is hard, then what's going to happen is the seed might be being sown on your heart, because this is going to represent a hard heart, because it says it's by the wayside. The wayside is like the footpath. It's like packed down. It's not broken up. It's not fertilized. It's just hard ground. And when the word falls on a heart like that, it just kind of sits on the top. And then the Bible says the enemy comes and steals it because they don't understand it. Now, I want to show you something that I believe. And I'm going to show you a scripture and explain to you why I believe this. I believe that we can have a mixture of soils in our heart. So there can be areas of my heart that are stony, because sometimes, how many of you have ever been in church and you hear something and you're like, that is so good. And you're so excited and you determine, like, the Bible says you received, the stony soul received it with joy. But then after, when tribulation or persecution came because of the word, it's that, you know, it withers. This happens with people that learn about, like, tithing. They hear about tithing, God's going to bless them, this is what I'm supposed to do as a Christian, and they go, yes, I am going to do that, I'm so excited, God's going to help me, and they go and tithe for a little bit, and then persecution or tribulation comes because of the word, because they've been given a word, and the enemy comes and brings tribulation. And people, then at that time, what happens, a lot of people go, well, I tried that, and it didn't work. Sometimes we can have areas in our heart that are hardened. Sometimes because of hurt. Sometimes because of tradition or religion. How many of you have ever heard something and you go, and often this is true for me, when I hear something new, even something that challenges my thinking that's biblical, and it challenges me, and I go, I don't know about that. And as it challenges me, if I don't understand it, now sometimes we need to be careful and pay attention to what's being said, because sometimes what we're hearing maybe isn't right and it's not God. And it's wisdom to go and check things against Scripture. But also what can happen is if I hear something and I don't understand it and I walk back out, what can happen is the enemy will steal the revelation that God wanted to give me. Because I didn't take any time to plow up the hard areas in my heart so that the word that's being spoken can go in deeper and I can get understanding. And so this can be a dangerous thing that can happen. Jeremiah 4, verse 3 says, "For thus says the Lord to the men of Judah and Jerusalem, break up your fallow ground and do not sow among thorns." As Christians, we need to be careful that we are not sitting in church hardened in tradition or allowing thorns to come. This is going to represent our thorns, because sometimes what happens in our heart is this Bible says with thorny soil, people hear the word goes into their heart. And it grows up. It begins to bring forth fruit. Like they start to see God doing a work in their life. And then what begins to happen? I have seen it over and over and over. Somebody will begin to grow in their faith. And all of a sudden, they have to work all the time. And the things that God was doing in their life begin to fall by the wayside. Or they get a new relationship. And this person maybe doesn't serve the Lord. And they get full of just pursuing this person, and all of a sudden, the thorns, the cares of this world, the deceitfulness of riches is what it says represent the thorns. And the thorns begin to choke out. They get, because they grew up. Now that's why this scripture that I just read in Jeremiah says, break up your fallow ground and do not sow among thorns. Because we can have thorns already in our heart. And if we don't get them out, when the word starts growing up, those thorns will choke it out. That's why God will deal with us in church, and he'll begin to show you that's greed in your life, or that's selfishness on your life, or that is, you know, that's a wrong way of thinking in your life, because God knows the cares of this world, just getting focused on other things and other people. The cares of this world can look different to all of us, and the deceitfulness of riches. It's amazing to me that the more stuff you collect, the more stuff you collect to go with it. Like if you buy this, all of a sudden you need all these other things. Or like if you redo like something in your living room, all of a sudden, well, I need something new to go with that. I mean, when you start decorating, it's like, well, now I got that new thing, and now I need this new thing to go with that new thing. And then it can become consuming. And so as Christians, we have to fight that we do not allow the enemy or the thorns, the cares of this world, or the deceitfulness of riches to choke out the word that God is speaking to us. Another thing that is important and reason why we can have hardened hearts. Number one is because of understanding. We don't understand things. Sometimes we don't understand things even when they're being preached to us because it's not how we've always heard it. Because it's something new that maybe God wants to give revelation. Now, again, I think we need to be like the Bereans in Acts 17. When you hear something, you need to study it and see if it's true. But if you do that, you know what you're doing? When you start studying, going, Lord, give me understanding. Is this what you're saying? Then you know what you're doing. If there are hardened areas in your heart that are keeping you from understanding, you're breaking up that fallow ground and allowing God to break up hard areas in your heart that would keep you from seeing and hearing and doing what he's wanting to say to you. And so we need to allow him to break up the hard areas in our heart. Why? Because then the precious seed of the word that goes in, then our heart, this one is filled with potting soil. So, you know, like it's pretty and it's like, you know, got fertilizer and stuff. And so when it goes into here, man, it can begin to produce a result in our lives. And as Christians, we need to make sure that our heart is like good soil so that it actually brings forth things. Now this, it was so cool when I went outside to collect all this stuff. This was growing. I wish I had taken a picture of it. This was growing in the stony area. And do you see? It's probably hard to see, but this is the plant. But look, this is the root right here. The root is only about this big down here because it doesn't have room. It can't go down very far. And this is what happens with the stony soil. If you get very excited about something, but you don't allow the soil, you don't allow it to go down deep enough so that Monday through Saturday, it's working in your life, then what can happen is you can get very excited about the gospel. And if you don't allow God to become a part of your everyday life, then when tribulation or persecution happens, which it will because of the word, either people, maybe somebody will say, why are you going to church for? Like, or why do you want to do that? Like, you know, like there's a lot more important things you could be doing with your time. Or when persecution, tribulation comes into every life, hard things come. Because the enemy will attack. When we start to seek God, the enemy will begin to attack. And so if this is, when the root is only this small, when those things come, the Bible says that it shrivels. We need to seek to understand. Philip, we read actually James in chapter 1 in Sunday school this morning. So we're going to look at James chapter 1, verse 21, and just kind of continue what he was talking about this morning in Sunday school. So James 1:21 says, so get rid of all the filth and evil in your lives and humbly accept the word God has planted in your hearts, for it has the power to save your souls. Sorry, that's James 1:21 in the New Living Translation. So I'm going to read it one more time. So get rid of all the filth and evil in your lives and humbly accept the word God has planted in your hearts, for it has the power to save your souls. And then verse 22 says, but be doers of the word. Don't just listen. Sorry, I'm quoting it from New King James. But don't just listen to God's word. You must do what it says. Otherwise, you are only fooling yourselves. So we have to, when we hear something that God begins to give us revelation on, we need to make a plan with the Holy Spirit. Ask God, Lord, what do we need to do here to see this changed? First, you invite God Almighty to help you, because none of us can do it by ourselves. We invite God Almighty to help us see that area changed, because if you don't get some understanding on it, then what will happen is the enemy will come and steal it, and then later on, if you hear it again, you'll be like, oh yeah, I heard that before. But by that time, sometimes months or years have gone by since you heard it the last time. And all of that time that you could have been walking in what God wanted to show you is wasted. So we need to, this scripture says, get rid of all the filth and evil in our lives. This is what's cool. When you walk with God, things like, Brother Dan said this in Sunday school this morning, things that used to be okay suddenly become filthy to you. I've watched movies that I watched when I was a teenager, as an adult, and I'm like, oh my gosh, how did I watch this? This is terrible. You know, why? Because God is bringing me to a place where I'm closer to Jesus, and things that didn't seem that filthy back then seem filthy now. And so God says, get rid of the filth and evil in your lives and humbly accept the word. Notice this, though. God has planted in your hearts, for it has the power to save your souls. As we walk with God, and if we will open our hearts to him, he will plant word in our heart. And it has the power to save our soul. But we have to let it do its work. If I just hold this seed in my hand and go, oh, this seed is so pretty. Look at what I got from Dollar Tree. Like, it is so cool. It's not going to do me any good. I can tell all of you guys and show you that I have these beautiful flower seeds. They're not going to do me any good unless I plant them into my heart. But if I plant them into a hard heart and I don't get any understanding, I don't sit with God and say, okay, Lord, what do you want to say to me? Like, what do you want us to do about this? And allow God to go, allow understanding to come, allow God to bring some change in my life. Then the Bible says that the enemy will steal it. Now, another way I wanted to say this, and I forgot about it earlier. Another way and reason that our heart can be hard is because of hurt. Sometimes we go through hard things, and our heart gets hardened because of sin. And because of the sins of other people, sin we know will harden the heart. So when we are sinned against or when we sin ourselves, our heart can get hardened. And I just want to say, one of our pastors, Janine Kavazakalian, she is our worship pastor and our inner healing pastor. And the cool thing about what we're talking about is she is called to equip the saints for the work of the ministry, is what we talked about, and to build the body of Christ. And one of the ways that God is using her to do that is by walking with people through inner healing and sitting with people, allowing God the Holy Spirit to speak about areas in their lives that need to be healed, and just walking people through forgiveness and helping people understand that. And you can make an appointment with her. She meets with women and men. Now, if you're a man, of course, there'll be somebody else in the room. And she meets with couples also. And it's not weird. It is where we sometimes, it is helpful to have somebody else, just the same as you go to a counselor and talk about some, and they point out some things that maybe you need to understand. God does the same things with her in the spiritual. And God speaks, and you listen and let the Holy Spirit speak to you, and he might reveal that you need to forgive, or that you need some healing in this area, or you're dealing with, you know, some other kind of thing, pride or jealousy or something else. And then you deal with it between you and God. And we can find healing in that way. When God speaks to her through the worship, and she speaks to us, she is equipping us as the saints for the work of ministry. When God speaks through her, you need to understand that God loves you. Now, see, if I can't believe that, I just, because of how I feel about myself, because of what the way that I grew up, because of the things that I've done, and I can't believe that, what can happen is I can harden my heart to that word, and it will sit right on the outside, and then the enemy will come and steal it. And it's important as the church that we keep our heart tended. How do we do that? By offering, saying to God, like, if you hear something in church that you know is true and you feel like, I just can't believe that, then your heart is hardened in some areas, and you need to present it to God. You need to say, God, I feel like I cannot believe that you love me. The best way to retrain your thinking is, one, begin to read the word about what God says about how he feels about you. You can Google it. Listen, if you Google up scriptures about God's love and you start reading about what the Bible says about how God views you, then second, though, you need to invite God the Holy Spirit to help you to change your mindset. Say, Father, you know that I am struggling with believing that you love me. God, would you help me? And then sometimes we need help from the body of Christ. If you still can't, you have read the scriptures and you have prayed, you make an appointment with Janine and you say, hey, can you pray for me? Like, it feels like somehow there's a disconnect, and I just can't believe that God, it loves me. Sometimes it's because of something that we need to deal with, some type of unforgiveness, something that we're missing, and we, as the body of Christ, can help each other. Sometimes we have to move things out of our lives. When God begins to show us something that needs to be dealt with, some type of sin that needs to be dealt with, and we just cover it up, or we make excuses and justify it, what can happen is then our heart can be hardened because of that. But any of this can be fixed. That's what's beautiful about walking with God. Any of it can be fixed. If we present it to the Lord and we say, God, would you help me? Would you teach me how to believe that you really do love me? And you begin to allow God to teach you. As God begins to deal with you about things that you're watching or things that you're saying or ways that you're acting, and you say to God, God, would you help me? Because he will, but it is a process. Listen, that's very important that you understand. I would love it if I said a prayer and God just immediately, and I didn't have any more problems, and I didn't struggle anymore with the areas that I struggle, but that's typically not how it works. We ask God to help us, and then sometimes things come into our lives where we recognize how much we need him, and then we have to call out to him, and you have to be willing to over and over humble yourself in order to admit your need for him. I would love to do it right all the time and never fall and never fail and never feel guilty and never feel shame. But I have not arrived there, that I get it right all the time. But that's why we serve a God who loves us and forgives us. And so when I miss it and when I feel unworthy, I come and I remind myself, God, I am worthy because of what Jesus did on the cross. And that's why coming into the house of God is so important, because we come in here and then we start singing songs and Janine starts reminding us and God speaks through Melissa, you know, or you hear something in Sunday school and you hear, oh, Philip struggles too. I didn't think he struggled at all. I thought he had it all together, you know, and he starts talking about how he said amen, how he starts struggling. And then you go, wait, other people struggle too? And it just reminds you, this is why the body of Christ is so important. So I want to close with this. in the church, we're called to equip the body for the work of the ministry. Then we're supposed to teach other people that are supposed to teach other people. 2 Timothy 2 verse 1 says, "You therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus, and the things that you have heard from me among many witnesses, commit these to faithful men." That's also women. The word means humans. So faithful humans who will be able to teach others also. So in the body of Christ, we train. Jacob is training students when they're in the youth group. He is equipping them for the work of the ministry, because work of the ministry doesn't start when you turn 18. They can be doing the work of the ministry at 4 and 5. Noah is back there equipping the 4 to 10-year-old saints for the work of the ministry right now, so that they can begin to do the work of the ministry that God is calling them to do. And then as we train, and then God raises up other teachers so that they can train others. And it just continues. So I want to ask you, what are you doing with what you're being taught? Because we're not called to just hear and learn for ourselves. We're called to hear and put that into practice. And so what are you doing with what you're being taught? With what you're being taught, and maybe then how are you then teaching others? What ministry is God calling you to do in the world, in the body of Christ? How are you ministering? How are you tending your heart so that the new things God is saying are being received and you're growing through them? Keep your heart. Break up the hardness in your heart, the areas that sin. Keep your heart pure before God. Allow God to deal with sin. Because listen, sins like pride can keep us from hearing the word that is being preached. I don't need to hear that. I could preach this sermon myself. I know this material so well. That pride will harden your heart and keep you from hearing what God is trying to say to you. So how are you tending your heart so that the new things that God is saying are being received and you're growing through them? Listen, God loves you and he is willing to work on you, just like he's working on me. So as this song plays, I just want to invite you to let the Lord, if you need prayer for anything, we're here. We would be glad to pray with you. We are all a work in progress. God is teaching us and growing us as we allow him to. And so there's no shame in needing prayer for help, because we all need it. So if you want to surrender your life to the Lord Jesus for the first time, we would be glad to pray with you.